الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Darse Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ادخلوا الجنة أنتم وأزواجكم تحبرون. يطاف عليهم بصحاف من ذهب وأكواب، وفيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس وتلذ الأعين، وأنتم فيها خالدون. وتلك الجنة التي أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون. لكم فيها فاكهة كثيرة منها تأكلون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. ادخلوا الجنة أنتم وأزواجكم تحبرون. You and your spouses should enter into Jannah, into paradise, happily. In the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a mention with regards to the fact that those friendships in this world which were not based upon taqwa, which were not for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then on the day of Qiyamah, these friendships, they will transform into enmity. So in this world, we have to be very careful as to who we choose to befriend, who are our friends, who we spend our time with, who we listen to, who we make as our role models. Because if we make those people our friends, who instead of inviting us towards obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they invite us towards the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, then on the day of Qiyamah, our eyes will open. And we will see that it's because of this person that today I am going into Jahannam. He is the one who used to always invite me towards all these wrong things. So this friendship will turn into enmity on the day of Qiyamah. Yes, those friendships which were based solely upon deen. You love someone only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you spend time with this person, you visited this person with this in mind, that when I visit this person, when I spend time with him, I am reminded of the akhirah and the hereafter. I am reminded of my purpose in life. I am reminded of my death. I am reminded of my grave. By spending time with him, I leave with good intentions that I need to bring changes into my life. I need to prepare for the hereafter. Then such friendships will remain friendships in the hereafter also. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will make this announcement that أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابِينَ بِجَلَالِيَّ Ayn al-mutahabbin bi jalali. Where are those people that used to love one another only for my sake? They visited one another only for my sake. They sat with one another only for my sake. There was no worldly motive. Their meetings were only for my pleasure. Al-yawma udhilluhum fi dhilli yawma la dhilla illa dhilli. Today I will give such people shade under my throne on a day when there is no shade besides the shade of my throne. So such people will be granted shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the sun will be just a mile above the head. And every person will be sweating according to the sins that he had committed. Some up to their ankles, some up to their knees, some up to their chest. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say that some people, they had sinned so much in this world that they will be drowning in their own sweat. So on that day, everyone will be looking for shade, but there will be only one shade. And that shade will be the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The air conditioning will only be under the throne of Allah ta'ala. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to us that on that day when everyone will be in need of this air condition, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلِّ. There are seven categories of people. If you belong to one of these categories, you will get that air condition. And from them one is this, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ. Those two who loved one another only for the pleasure of Allah. اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. When they met one another, it was for Allah's sake. When they dispersed from one another, it was for Allah's sake. There was no worldly motive. This is why those individuals who regularly attend deeni gatherings such as this, they are very fortunate. Because there is no worldly motive when a person comes here. He is not coming here with this intention that I'll get something from a worldly point of view. There's no money being distributed here. Here a person only comes with a deeni motive. So this love and this relationship, a person will see the fruit of this on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those friendships which were based upon worldly motives and not religious and deeni motives, they will turn into enmity on the day of Qiyamah. But as far as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned, who obeyed Allah ta'ala, who assisted one another in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who encouraged one another to obey Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address them and say, Ya ibadi, la khawfun alaykum al-yawm, wa la antum tahzanun. That, O my servants, today for you there is no fear and there is no grief. So when this announcement will be made, every single human being from Adam alayhi salam until the last human, they will all stand up and they will all raise their heads. And everyone will say that we are your ibad, we are your servants, O Allah. But the caller will further say, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. That those who are mu'min and those who are Muslim. Which means that not every individual is now a recipient of this word, Ya Ibad, O my servants. In the world, even the sinners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them with this, Ya Ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. O my servants who have oppressed themselves by sinning. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not become despondent from the rahmah and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah Ta'ala forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the all-forgiving and the all-merciful. So at this moment in time, every single one of us are a recipient of this title, Ya Ibadi. When Allah Ta'ala says, O my servants, Even I am included, even you are included, and the greatest sinner in the world, he is also included. Now it's up to us to take benefit from this. Repent from our past and start obeying Allah Ta'ala. Because on the day of Qiyamah, everyone will not be included. When the entire humanity will stand, Allah Ta'ala will say, no, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. Only the mu'min and the Muslim. Mu'min and Muslim. Normally these two words, we use them interchangeably. A person, we say he's a mu'min, some people say he's a Muslim. But there's a difference between the two. A mu'min is that person who has all the beliefs. And a Muslim is that person who then practices upon the religion. A person believes in Allah, he believes in the prophets, he believes in the books, he believes in the angels, he believes on the day of Qiyamah. He's a mu'min. And then he performs salah, he gives zakah, he does hajj, he practices upon the deen. Now he's a Muslim. This is the difference between mu'min and Muslim. So both have been mentioned. This is when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked both questions, what's iman and what's Islam? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained both. So those who left this world with iman intact, their heads will remain up, and those who left this world with kufr, with disbelief, they will lower their heads. And thereafter, Imam Muhasibi rahmatullahi alayhi says that the announcer will announce again. And he will say, Alladheena amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. That not only did you live with iman, but together with iman, you also obeyed Allah Ta'ala and refrained from his disobedience. So all those who had sinned during their lives, and their sins were more than their good deeds, they will all lower their heads. And only the muttaqeen will remain with their heads up high. So this is where we had reached in last week's lesson. Now, in the next few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now addresses these people who are going to enter into Jannah and Paradise. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He also makes us from this category. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Udkhulul jannata antum wa azwajukum tuhbarun. You and your spouses should enter into Jannah happily. You enter into Jannah and your azwaj. There are three opinions of the commentators of the Quran here with regards to what azwaj refers to. One opinion is that azwajukum here refers to quranaukum minal mu'minin, your believing friends. Because one of the translations of azwaj can also be partners. And because the previous verse spoke about friends, according to some commentators of the Quran, there is still that connection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already has advised us that we should have good friends in the world. So Allah ta'ala will now say that you enter into Jannah, and those friends, those people who you befriended, because they also assisted you in practicing upon the deen, that friendship is not going to end. As far as the bad friends were concerned, they've turned into enemies. But your good friends, they were your friends in the world, they remain your friends, so enter into Jannah with your friends. This is one tafsir. And the second tafsir is that azwajukum here, azwaj is normally translated as spouses. So it refers to the spouses. For the men, their wives, and for the women, their husbands. That you and your spouses, your husband or your wife, you enter into Jannah. Al-Muslimat fi dunya, your Muslim, your female wives in the world, enter into Jannah with your wives. So it refers to the wives. And a third tafsir is that it refers to your wives from the Al-Hurul Een. So from the many bounties in Jannah, one bounty is that a male will be granted the hurs of Jannah, the women and the damsels of paradise. So one is that you will have your wife or your wives that you had in this world. They will enter into Jannah with you also. And on top of this, Allah Ta'ala will also grant a person the women of Jannah and the women of paradise. And in other places in the Quran, we find different descriptions with regards to this. For example, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions, فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارًا إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً. Allah Ta'ala says that as far as the women of Jannah are concerned, then we will create them a completely new creation. So Allah Ta'ala will create them once again. It will be a new creation that Allah Ta'ala will create. And this refers to, number one, the hurs of Jannah, that Allah Ta'ala will create the hurs of Jannah himself. Number two, those women that were in this world, who are your wives, your wife or your wives, Allah Ta'ala will create them again so that there will be no effect of any of the filth which they had in this world. In this world, when a girl is born, then she is created through the nutfa, through the semen. And thereafter, she is created in the womb of the mother. And while she is in the womb of the mother, her food is the impure blood. And thereafter, she comes from that impure path of the mother. But in Jannah, there will be none of the effects of these impure things. She will be created completely pure again. فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every woman in paradise, she will be a virgin. Even those women who are in this world, who you had married and they were no longer virgins, but in Jannah they will all be virgins. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a man will have relationships with his hoor or with his wife in Jannah, as soon as he finishes with that relationship, she will once again be transformed into a virgin. So this will be another quality of the women of Jannah. And uruban, they will be extremely beloved to the man. A man will have intense love for his wife and for the hoors of Jannah. Why? Number one, they will be extremely beautiful. And number two, they will never do anything or say anything due to which your love will decrease for her. When does the love decrease for a person? When they do something which you don't like, or they say something which you don't like. This is why even in this world, those who are married, then they should try their best to live with one another in such a way that the love increases and it doesn't decrease. Today we live in such a time where marriages are falling apart left, right and center. So yes, there will be certain cases where you can say that for some reason the marriage just didn't work and both sides were innocent. But in majority of the cases we find that there's a great sense of immaturity, either from the male or from the female. So we need to remember, we are not living in paradise, we are living in this world. And in this world, you will have to make compromises for your marriage to work. So the husband should overlook the wrongs in the wife, and the wife should overlook the wrongs of the husband. So there will be intense love, because the woman will never do anything or say anything which will become a means of the love decreasing. And in Jannah, these women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the age of 33. Even the men, the age will be 33. Even the women, the age will be 33. And the reason for this is that after a person matures, he continues to develop until the age of 33. And at the age of 33, this is when a person's faculties, they have all reached their pinnacle. And in his behavior also, it's at the age of 33 that there's complete i'tidal. There's complete i'tidal, which means that a person has reached complete moderation now. And thereafter, slowly, slowly, he begins to decrease in all of his faculties until he reaches his old age. So because 33 is regarded as the age where every faculty reaches its peak, in Jannah, every male and every female will be 33 years of age. And they will remain 33 forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is mentioning that enter into Jannah yourselves wa azwajukum and your spouses. Tuhbarun. This word tuhbarun, there is also three explanations for tuhbarun. The first one is that tuhbarun means that they will experience such happiness that its effect will manifest on their faces. You will be able to see on their faces that these people who are entering into Jannah are extremely, extremely happy. So sometimes a person is happy, but he is able to hide that happiness. Inside he's happy, but he doesn't show it from his appearance, from his face. You cannot tell whether he's happy or sad. But when a person is extremely happy, then this shows on his face. He cannot hide his happiness. So when a person will enter Jannah, tuhbarun, you will be able to see the effects of the happiness on his face. And a second meaning of tuhbarun is that you will enter into Jannah adorned and beautified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will adorn this person and Allah ta'ala will beautify this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that each person in Jannah will be given the height of Adam alayhi salam. And Adam alayhi salatu wa salam's height, according to one hadith, is 40 cubits. So an average human in this world is 6 foot. So you can say 10 times the size of an average human. This will just be our height. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further says that he will be granted the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. So you will be adorned and beautified, and thereafter this beauty will only increase, it will not decrease. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that every Friday the people of Jannah, they will be taken to a certain place in Jannah, from where they will be able to observe and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their own eyes. Just as every Friday we come for Jumu'ah, this will be our Jumu'ah there. And thereafter, when you will return, your wife in Jannah and in paradise, she will say to you that, where have you been? You are even more handsome in comparison to how handsome you are when you left. So one can imagine when he has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his own eyes, the effect of this will be that his beauty will increase. So upon this, the man will say that I've been to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it makes sense why my beauty has increased. But what I don't understand is you've remained here in the palace, but I can see that even your beauty has increased. So the women will reply that you had to go there to see Allah Ta'ala. But we, while sitting in the palaces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the veils and we could see Allah Ta'ala right from here. So tuhbarun, you will enter into Jannah beautified and adorned. And number three, tuhbarun, a third meaning is that you will enter into Jannah honored. With great honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter you into Jannah. It won't be that there's thousands of people, so come on, quickly, quickly, everybody go into Jannah. No. With great honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran regarding the malaika that the angels will say to the people of Jannah, Salamun alaykum. They will greet us with salam. The angels will say, may peace be upon you. For what? Bima sabartum. For all that patience which you endured in the world. Either you endured patience due to some difficulty in the world, but you did sabr. No, I'm going to do sabr. I'm going to endure patience. Allah Ta'ala will give me Jannah in the hereafter. And sometimes you have to endure patience when it comes to carrying out good deeds. Waking up in the morning and going to perform Fajr Salah, very difficult. But a person endures sabr and patience upon this difficulty and he takes that step. Or sabr at the time when you feel like committing a sin. There's this intense feeling inside that I want to commit this sin. But you do sabr. That no, I can't commit this sin. So all that sabr, all that patience that you endured in the world, the angels will say, due to that sabr and patience, may peace be upon you. فَنِعْمَ أُقْبَ الدَّارِ Now your house and your place in the hereafter is excellent. You're going into Jannah. And the angels will say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ May peace be upon you. تِبْتُمْ فَدْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ Enter into Jannah forever and ever. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will address us and say, As-salamu alaykum ya ahlal Jannah. Just imagine that moment, that when you are in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says to us that, As-salamu alaykum, O the people of Jannah. Now what more honor can there be than this, that Allah ta'ala greets us with salam. In this world, if there is a very high-ranked alim, sheikh, and they greet us with salam, we become extremely happy. And we go around telling people that today he greeted me with salam. But over there, Allah Ta'ala will greet us with salam. So, tuhbarun. And thereafter, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala now mentions some points regarding paradise. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسِحَافٍ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ Bowls and cups of gold will be passed around between them. وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ And in Jannah there shall be whatever the heart desires, وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ And whatever pleases the eye, وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ You will live there forever. First point, yutafu alayhim. That in Jannah, the food and the drink will be circulated. It will be passed around. The reason for mentioning this is that in this world, normally when a person wants something, he has to get up from his place and thereafter he has to go and get it. You feel like drinking water, you stand up, go to the tub, fill the glass and drink the water. In Jannah, you won't have to do this. In Jannah, you will simply have to desire and wish and you will find whatever you desire and wish in front of you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person will desire that he wants to eat the kebab or the meat of a bird. وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِّمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that as soon as he will wish this, instantly a bird will be in front of him. And the entire bird will be barbecued in front of his eyes. And he will consume this bird. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a bird will land upon his plate. And this bird will be extremely pure and clean. And it will possess 70,000 wings. When this bird will land in the plate, this bird will begin to flap its wings. And when it flaps its wings, from every wing, something white, which will be more white than milk, will come out from these wings. And he will consume this. And after he consumes this, then this bird will once again be given life and it will fly away in front of him. So whatever a person will desire, he will get it instantly in Jannah. There will be no need to even order, that you have to order and you will receive it after half an hour. No Deliveroo or Uber there. Direct, instantly. But the Quran here says that yutafu alayhim, that it will be circulated, there will be people present who will be at your service. Now when you are going to desire and the item is going to come to you straight away, why is there a need for the attendants, for the servants? So the servants will simply be there for your ikram, to honor you. And who will these servants be? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another place that yatufu alayhim wildanum mukhalladun. They will be young boys. And these young boys, mukhalladun, they will remain forever. So there are two meanings to mukhalladun. One meaning is that they will remain young forever. They will never become old. And number two, these young boys, they will remain forever. They will never die. So they will always remain at your service. And how many young boys will there be? Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma mentions that if we just take the lowest jannati, so from all the people that will enter paradise, the one who will be in the lowest grade, the one star jannah, he will have 1,000 servants for every different task of his. For example, one task is that when I need water, so just for water, there will be 1,000 servants. So if you wish, I want water, you've got 1,000 servants there ready for you. So like this, every different task of yours, there will be a separate 1,000 servants. This is for the lowest jannati. And Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that at every moment around the people of Jannah, or around one person in Jannah, there will be 5,000 servants just standing there. And this again will be out of honor, that despite this person not needing anything, there's 5,000 people ready at his service. So this will be, these are the servants in Jannah. إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. Allah Ta'ala says that when you will look at your servants, it will seem to you as though they are scattered pearls. So if a person has ever seen a scene of scattered pearls, then he will be able to understand that these servants, they will be extremely handsome, extremely beautiful, and it will look as though they are scattered pearls. But in reality, they will be young boys who will be there for you, for at your service. So this is yutafu alayhim. Bisihafim min zahabin wa akwab. Sihaf and akwab. Sihaf refers to that utensil from which you eat. So whether it's a plate or whether it's a bowl. And akwab refers to that utensil from which a person drinks. So again, it can, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would drink from a bowl. And now we drink from cups or glasses. So what will be circulated? Sihaf, the utensils from which you eat. And akwab, the utensils from you drink. And the Mufassirin mentioned, this doesn't mean that they'll just walk around with empty plates and empty glasses. It means that it'll have delicious food in there and delicious drinks in there. And these utensils, Allah Ta'ala says, min zahabin. They will be made out of gold, out of real pure gold. Regarding which, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned one point to keep in mind, is that in this world, we are not allowed to eat from any utensil which is made out of gold, or drink from a cup which is made out of gold. So in this world, we are not allowed to use utensils which are made out of gold. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تلبسوا الحرير ولا الديباج. Don't ever wear clothing. The men should not wear clothing made out of silk or brocade. So clothes which are made out of fine silk or which have real gold or real silver in them, even if it's just a few threads, we are not allowed to wear gold or silver or silk as men. And وَلَا تَشْرَمُوا فِي آنِيَةِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Don't drink from utensils made out of gold or silver. And don't eat from plates which are made from gold and silver. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّهَا لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Because this is for the disbelievers in this world, and it's for you in the hereafter. So in this world, refrain from gold and silver utensils. Allah Ta'ala will grant you this in the hereafter. And Umm Salama radiallahu anha mentions a hadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who drinks from a utensil made out of gold or silver, he is filling the fire of Jahannam in his stomach. So we should refrain from utensils made out of gold and silver, and also clothing which is made out of gold and silver. So this is the food and drink of Jannah which these people will receive. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, to give us some more perspective with regards to this, that again, if we take the lowest grade Jannati, that person who will be in the lowest level of paradise, when he will be in Jannah, you will find 70,000 young boys who will be circulating him and who will be present at his service. And each of these 70,000 boys, each and every one of them will have a plate with food in it. And every single dish, the color of it will be different, the taste of it will be different, and the fragrance of it will be different. So normally, when you go to a restaurant to eat, you may find many different items on the menu, but a lot of the times it's just the names that have been changed. It's just a way of making money. Otherwise, taste-wise, they all taste more or less the same. They may add a little bit, a few spices here and a few less there. But in Jannah, every dish will be exclusive and will be completely unique. Nothing in comparison to the second dish. And we're not talking about 10 or 20 or 30, it will be a 70,000 course meal. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, or rather, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, that يَأْكُلُ مِنْ آخِرِهَا كَمَا يَأْكُلُ مِنْ أَوَّلِهَا. You will eat from the first dish just as you will eat from the last dish. Now in this world, if you have 70,000 dishes in front of you, you'll eat maybe from the first, second, third, and then you'll say, enough, I can't eat anymore. But Allah Ta'ala will grant you such an appetite that just as you ate from the first dish, and you enjoyed that first dish because of your hunger, when you are eating the 70,000th dish, you will still have the same enjoyment. وَيَجِدُ طَعْمَ آخِرِهَا كَمَا يَجِدُ طَعْمَ أَوَّلِهَا. And you will find the taste and enjoy the taste of the first dish just as you enjoy the taste in the final dish. So this is regarding the lowest ranked Jannati. And as far as those who will be in the elite levels of Jannah and Paradise, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions they will have not 70,000 but 700,000 people. And the same thing, that these 700,000 boys, everyone will have a plate. And in there will be a different type of dish. And you will eat from every single one of them. Just as you ate from the first one, you will eat from the 700,000th one. And you will enjoy the taste of every single one. In this world, normally when a person starts to eat, then he enjoys the food because he's hungry. Even the young children, in the beginning they eat fine, no complaints. But after halfway, once their stomach now starts to get full, this is when they start messing around and they start to say that it's too chilly or too spicy or there's too much salt here. But really, there's nothing wrong with the food. It's because they don't want to eat anymore. But in Jannah, this won't happen. You will still eat even the final dish. You will still experience that same enjoyment that you are experiencing in the first dish. Now, you're going to eat 70,000 dishes in one go. When you eat in this world, after eating, there's certain effects. One effect is that a person, when he eats, you will have seen that some people, they begin to sweat when they eat. There's entire write-ups on this, which we don't need to go into. But if someone's really interested, they can read about all this, that why do people sweat when they eat? You may have seen some people, for some reason, they sweat when they eat. It's even written, some people, just when they talk about food, they begin to sweat. And you have other people that just when they think about food, they begin to sweat. So anyway, in Jannah also, one reason why a person sweats is if the food is very spicy, very hot, which is understandable. Abu Qilaba rahimahullah ta'ala says, يُؤْتُونَ بِالطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ. The people of Jannah, food and drink will be presented to them. They will eat, they will drink. After eating and drinking, when the final drink will be presented to them, this drink will be extremely pure and it will fill their entire stomach. And thereafter, they will sweat. They will perspire. But this sweat and this perspiration, which will flow from their bodies and their skin, it will be more pure and more fragrant than musk. And we're not talking about the musk of this world, the musk of the hereafter. So the perspiration of Jannah, the sweat of Jannah, will be more pure and more fragrant than the smell of musk. And one way we can understand this is that in this world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's perspiration was also extremely fragrant. It wasn't like the perspiration of another human being that it would smell, it would have an odor. In fact, Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, who was blessed with spending time in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a lesson which we have to take, that if from a young age, we make our children spend time in the company of the ulama and in the company of the pious, number one, deen will be transferred into their lives. And number two, they will gain such du'as from these people that these du'as will grant them great success in this world also and great success in the hereafter also. This is what Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, that when I was a child, my mother Umme Sulaym radiallahu anha took me to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Anas, my young boy, I am handing him over to you. I want him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Anas. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for me. Three du'as. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allahumma akthir malahu. First dua. Oh Allah, grant him excessive wealth. Wa waladahu. Oh Allah, grant him excessive children. Wa atil umurahu. And oh Allah, grant him a lengthy and a long life. And in another narration, a fourth dua, waghfir dhambahu. Oh Allah, forgive all his sins. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that as far as the first dua is concerned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, grant him excess wealth. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that everyone in Madinatul Munawwara, their trees would bear fruit once during the year, which is the norm. But my trees, they would bear fruit twice a year. So this dua was accepted. He says, as far as children are concerned, I have buried 120 of my own children or grandchildren with my own hands. So Allah Ta'ala granted him a great and a very lengthy, very large family also. He was granted barakah in his children also. And as far as the third dua is concerned, that Allah grant him a long life. So according to one opinion, Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu lived till the age of 103. And even in his latter portion, An incident comes to mind that he was once out with the people looking for the crescent of either Ramadan or Eid. So the sunnah is that a person goes out and looks for the crescent with his own eyes. Not that he waits on WhatsApp for the message that, let's see, is it Ramadan tomorrow or Eid tomorrow? So they would go out and look at his age. That at that age, his hair had become white, his eyebrows, his eyelashes had also become white. But the old men of that time, even they would go out to look for the moon and the crescent. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I also went out. Now when I went out with the people, the narrator says that Anas radiallahu anhu said that I can see the crescent. But in that whole gathering, nobody else could see the crescent besides Anas radiallahu anhu. So everyone was shocked that how can he see the crescent? There should be at least second or third opinion here. Nobody, everyone saying no. So one person looked very carefully at Anas radiallahu anhu. He said, let me check. Are his eyes all right? When he looked at his eyes, he saw that there was one white hair from the eyelash which was on the eye of Anas radiallahu anhu. So this one white hair, when he removed it, then he said to Anas, now can you see the crescent? So Anas radiallahu anhu said, no, now I can't see the crescent. So he wasn't seeing the crescent, it was his white hair. Allah Ta'ala granted him a very lengthy life also. So three du'as were accepted. After mentioning this, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said to his students that three du'as which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for me have all been accepted. I have already seen the fruits of them in this world. I also have hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that the last du'a which he made, that may Allah forgive your sins, this du'a will also be accepted. So these are the du'as Anas radiallahu anhu gained from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, because she was the mahram of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go and rest at her house. So Anas radiallahu anhu was privileged that he could spend that time in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once, whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting at the time of Qaylula, the time of siesta in the afternoon, Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, she took one of her perfume bottles and she went next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perspiring, he was sweating. So she took the sweat from his forehead and she placed it inside her perfume bottle, she mixed it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up and she said, oh, Umm Sulaym, what are you doing? So Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha mentioned that we add your sweat to our perfumes because this makes our perfume the best perfume in Madinatul Munawwara. This is why when she would apply perfume and walk in the streets of Madina Munawwara, people would ask her, that which perfume shop have you been to? You know, we bought the most expensive perfume, but it's nowhere near your perfume. But that's because it had the sweat. So in Jannah, everyone's sweat will smell like musk. So that's sweat. Now, after you eat, a person needs to urinate, a person needs to go to the toilet, relieve himself. A person burps, these are all the other effects. So one more narration. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned the hadith reported by Sayyiduna Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. He says, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Inna ahla al-jannati ya'kuluna fiha wa yashrabun. People of paradise, they will eat and drink in Jannah. Remember, we were talking about the 70,000 dishes. So you've eaten all this food and you've had so much to drink. Now, la yatfulun. In Jannah, you will never spit. People eat pan and then they have to go signs. £1,000 fine if you spit. So we shouldn't spit on the streets. So no spitting. So in Jannah, there will be no spitting. وَلَا يَبُولُونَ, you will never urinate. And وَلَا يَتَغَوَّتُونَ, you will never pass stool. وَلَا يَمْتَقِتُونَ, there will be no mucus that will come out from your body. So all these effects which normally are when a person eats or drinks, nothing will happen. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَا بَالُ الطَّعَامُ, what is going to happen to all this food? You've got 70,000 dishes in here, what's going to happen? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jusha'un wa rashhun ka rashhil miski. that after eating all of this, there will be one belch, there will be one burp. And this burp will not be like the burp in this world that you've done iftar and when you come for tarawih and you burp and everyone knows what you ate for iftar. This is not what you should do. When you come to the masjid, then you should clean yourself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that if a person eats either garlic or onion, then he should not come to our masjid. The same goes for those who smoke. First of all, you shouldn't be smoking. If you smoke, then do tawbah today and repent. No smoking, no vaping. Put all this to one side. Inshallah, on another occasion, we'll speak about this. There's no time now. But if you do smoke, then at least clean your mouth before coming to the masjid. Because you might not feel inconvenience, but other people do feel inconvenience. So anyway, in Jannah, you'll burp. But this burp also will be like musk. It will be more fragrant than musk. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam further says that the atmosphere in Jannah will be so pure that yulhamuna at-tasbih wat-tahmid wat-takbir kama yulhamuna an-nafs. That in this world, just as you, when you breathe naturally. At this moment, everyone is breathing, but you're not exerting any effort. If I didn't mention to you your breathing, you wouldn't even think that I'm breathing right now. You're just naturally breathing. In Jannah, in the same way, a person will be saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And it will just happen naturally. That will be the natural environment in Jannah, that everyone will just be saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, without exerting any effort. This will be our breathing in Jannah. So, there will be no urinating, there will be no going to the toilet. And the food, the way it will digest is one burp, and this burp will be even more fragrant than the fragrance of musk. وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ Allah Ta'ala says that in Jannah, for a person will be whatever he desires. Whatever he desires. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned the hadith in which a person asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will there be horses in Jannah? This person had a passion for horses. If someone has a passion for cars, so he asked that, will I get a Ferrari in Jannah? The children ask, will I get chocolates in Jannah? So everyone has different passions, different strokes for different folks. So in Jannah, this person, he had a passion for horses. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will I get a horse in Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in Jannah you will wish for a horse. Allah Ta'ala will give you a horse which will be made out of a red ruby. Emeralds, rubies, these are precious stones. So this entire horse will be made out of a red ruby. And this horse will not walk or run, this horse will have wings and it will fly. You will mount on the horse and it will make you fly throughout Jannah. So another person said that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will I get a camel in Jannah? He had a passion for camels. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought that everyone's going to ask for their own passions. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, simple, in Jannah you will get whatever you wish for. Whatever you wish for, you will get it in Jannah. وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ And the blessings of Jannah will be such that when you will look at them, it will please the eye. Sometimes, the food and drink in a particular restaurant is extremely nice, but the decor is shambles. We need to work on the decor. And in some places, the decor is amazing, but the food is no good. So here you have both. The food will also be amazing, the drinks will also be amazing, and the decor will also be amazing. When you look at it, it will please the eyes. وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ Everything in Jannah will please the eyes. Whether it's the women, whether it's the food, whether it's the furniture, whether it's the rivers, whatever you look at, it will please the eye. And Sayyid ibn Jubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala, then takes this ayah onto a completely different level and says that although everything will please the eye, there's always going to be one thing which will be unmatchable. So he says, وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ here refers to النَّذْرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Referring to the hadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that after Allah Ta'ala will give you everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh the people of Jannah, ask for more, ask for more. We will ask and we will ask and we will ask. And our whole list will finish. The young boys here, they have their Eid shopping list. Yeah, the Eid list, that this is what I want for Eid. Everyone's made their Eid list for this year. Not yet. So anyway, Ramadan's coming by the way. Let us prepare for the month of Ramadan. By listening to Jannah, this should give us a boost that this is what we want to achieve. You, what's this world? This world is nothing. So look, Allah Ta'ala will say, ask for what you want. Ask for everything. We'll have nothing left. Allah Ta'ala will say, still ask. So we will say, Alam tubayyid wujuhana. Oh Allah, have you not enlightened our faces? Alam tunajjina minan nar. Have you not granted us safety from Jahannam? Alam tudkhilna al-jannah. Have you not entered us into Jannah? Alam kaza, alam kaza. Haven't you given this? Haven't you given us this? What more can we ask for? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ. The veil will be removed. And every person in Jannah with his own eyes, he will be able to see Allah Ta'ala with his own eyes. And this will be the best blessing in Jannah. And a time will come when the muqarrabeen and the close servants of Allah Ta'ala, they will put all the blessings of Jannah onto one side. And the only thing they will do 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, is stand there looking at Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There will be no better blessing than this. The enjoyment in this will be such that you will not find such enjoyment in any other blessing of Jannah. So this is what the ladhul a'yun. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to make this dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ladzata nazri ila wajhika al-kareem. Oh Allah, we ask you for the pleasure of being able to see you with these eyes. وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And you will remain in Jannah forever. You will remain in Jannah forever and ever. These blessings of Jannah, regarding which Allah Ta'ala mentions in Hadith Qudsi, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I have prepared for my pious servants, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. Those blessings which the eyes have never seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِيَتْ. The ears have never heard of. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرْ. And the thought has not even crossed the heart and mind. So whatever explanation we find in Quran and Hadith, that's just a taster. But when you actually go into Jannah, it's going to be completely different. You can't even explain it in this world. Mala aynun ra'at, what the eyes have not seen. So if you have a car, when you see it with your own eyes, then you can describe the car and you have seen it with your own eyes. So you know how good this car is. It's a very nice, expensive car that you see with your own eyes. Then there's a second level. That somebody else tells you that I have this car. And this car that I have is like this, it's like this, it's like this. And when he'll explain to you, he can exaggerate. He can exaggerate and he can make it seem even better than what it is. And then, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. A third level is that a person, he goes into the world of imagination and he begins to imagine a car. And he can imagine all sorts of things. You tell a child that imagine a house. He'll imagine all sorts of things. You imagine a car, so he'll imagine a car that can fly also. So when you go into the world of imagination, you can imagine all sorts of things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. The blessings of Jannah are such that if you were to sit here right now, go in the world of imagination and imagine the most amazing of palaces. Imagine the most amazing of foods. Imagine the most amazing of drinks. The blessings of Jannah will be such that there is no way you can imagine them in this world. They will be even more greater than what you could imagine here. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. That this is Jannah which you have been made to inherit because of the good deeds that you carried out. لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ مِّنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. In it Jannah, you will have an abundance of fruit. وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا. That this is the Jannah you have inherited. Why the need to mention this word inheritance here? So there are two reasons. Allama Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions that the reason for mentioning this is that Allah Ta'ala is indicating that this Jannah, this was the house of your father Adam Alayhi Salaam. So it all belonged to Adam alayhi salam. He was the first one. He was in Jannah. So just as a child inherits from his father, we are the children of Adam. So we have inherited our part of Jannah from our father Adam alayhi salam. And a second point to keep in mind here is, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions that Allah Ta'ala has made a plot in paradise for every human being, and Allah Ta'ala has made a plot in Jahannam for every human being. But not everyone is going to go into Jannah and not everyone is going to go into Jahannam. So those plots in Jannah, which were reserved for a person who left this world without Iman, When we will go into Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will give us our plot also, and He will also make us inherit one of those plots which a kafir or disbeliever was supposed to have. And in Jahannam, it will be the opposite. That a mu'min's plot in Jahannam, because he's not going into Jahannam, the disbeliever will inherit that plot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that inherit the plots in Jannah. So you get your plot also, and you get the plot of one of the disbelievers also. وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ Due to the a'mal and the good deeds that you carried out. So this, when a person goes into Jannah, he goes into Jannah due to the fadl and the grace of Allah Ta'ala. But how do you attract the fadl of Allah Ta'ala? It's through a'mal, good deeds. So we need to carry out as many good deeds as we possibly can. And finally, لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ مِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ yeah. Just before that, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that when a person who goes into Jahannam, when a person goes into Jahannam, he will be shown that this was the plot reserved for you in Jannah. You are going to get this in Jannah. But because you left the world without Iman, now you are not going to get it. So when he will be shown his plot in Jahannam, then on that time, he will have great regret, and with intense regret, he will say, لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ If only Allah had guided me and I was from the muttaqeen. And on the other side, the people going to Jannah, they will be shown their plot in Jahannam. And they would be shown that if you had disobeyed Allah and left without Iman, this would have been your place in Jahannam. So on that occasion, they will say, وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَادَ اللَّهِ That if Allah Ta'ala had not guided us, we would never have been granted guidance. So out of shukr and gratefulness, they will say this. And finally, the last point here is regarding the faqihah, the fruits, that in Jannah, they will have whatever fruits they desire. Allama Tabrani rahmatullahi alayh mentions the hadith reported by Thawban radiallahu anhu, who says, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mention that when a person will remove one fruit from the trees of Jannah, as soon as he will remove it, then another fruit will appear in its place. So the fruits of Jannah will never come to an end. لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that the fruit in Jannah, it will never rot. It will never go off. It will always remain ripe and it will always remain fresh. And Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once he was sat in Sham, in Greater Syria, and while sitting in Sham, somebody asked him with regards to the fruits of paradise. So he said that I am sat here in Sham. So from here until Yemen, the distance that is between Sham and Yemen, that will be the size of just one fruit in Jannah. And there will be no seed in there. And the entire fruit will be such that you will be able to consume it and you will be able to enjoy the pleasure of it. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to aspire for this Jannah and this paradise, and He gives us the ability to live our lives in such a way that we become deserving of Jannah and paradise. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bless us with all of these gifts which He has kept in Jannah and paradise. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله اللهم